That group is, for they are controlling their grief. Why? They're not even weeping openly. And how far away that is from the example of Jesus Christ at the tomb of Lazarus, who felt free to grieve and to grieve intensely when he had lost someone he loved. But Christians are taught to be afraid of emotion, sexuality. How many, many Christians feel that somehow the very fact that they're a sexual person is something that God does not want to see. And how many Christians suffer from the inability to experience sexual pleasure and closeness, to be able to experience one flesh, because they've been taught that those feelings of passion are somehow inappropriate and that God frowns on them. How much we're caught up in the Gnostic teaching that the material things are bodies, and we have attached to that our feelings are bad. How many of our Christian people are so caught up emotionally and held down that they can't even experience joy and celebrate the meaning of their own faith and the good things that happen. Yes, people are afraid of the emotional side of themselves. And it becomes our task to preach a proclamation of freedom, that people are liberated to be able to experience all of themselves, not only the part that thinks, but the part that feels, and that we could be able to follow Jesus' example at that point. People are afeared, to use an old way of expressing it, of what other people think. About a month ago, with a group of teenage kids down in eastern North Carolina, they were expressing to me, without the presence of other adults, the kinds of interests that they had and the kind of concerns that they wish they could activate in their church in relationship to race relations. And when I got curious about why these intense feelings could not be expressed in some kind of action, in some kind of planning, in some kind of carrying out, their response was one that was a little different for me. They said, it would hurt our parents too much, and we love them very much. They try to understand. But if we were to do something like that or take action on what we believe, they would worry so much about what the rest of the town felt that it would crush them. And we don't want to hurt our parents. So afraid of what others feel. Well, we could make a list as long as our arm, but it's not necessary. Only my contention to remind us all that the gospel of love is a gospel that throws fear out the door. Instead of talking about some more things that I would think might be important for us to consider about Up With Humanness, it is true, as Dr. Brown shared with me as we came to the platform, that the Lord hath made a hot night. Let us be brief. So I'd like to kind of chop it off here without poem or further word, because I trust that at least I have been able to express to you some of my feelings about how important it would be for us as ministers and as churches, both for ourselves as vessels that carry the gospel of love, and for the people that we minister to who are so heavily burdened down with much in life, who need very much to experience the liberation, the freedom, and the fulfillment of knowing how important it is to God that we be able to fulfill the humanity which He has created us to be. And that if all of us could be more committed to Up With Humanness, I think all of us would be able to experience God much more fully and mean much more to one another.
Father, for the opportunities of learning and service. We're grateful. Because of our own humanness, our anxiety level as seniors is very high. We move from a place of koinonia, a place of fellowship which is characterized by sharing and caring people, to a sea of human needs and a world that is characterized by hatred, jealousy, and prejudice. We ask, Father, that you would help that koinonia would happen to each of us, that as seniors you would help us to become loving individuals, to realize it is more meaningful to be something to someone than it is to do something for someone. I pray as we travel on the sea of human needs that you will help each of us to risk involvement with other people, those of our own churches, those who comprise our graduating class, and those who will live in our communities. We ask, Father, that you would help us to feel good about ourselves in order that we might share ourselves with others. We ask tonight for eyes that can see, ears that can hear, and a heart that can respond to you not only on this day of happiness, our day, but the remainder of the days of our lives. Father, forgive what we were yesterday. We ask that you would sanctify what you find us to be today. And God, through your will, order what each of us shall become tomorrow. For we pray in the powerful name of our Savior. Amen.